Paul asserted in Romans chapter 8, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. But these words may seem impossible to believe faced with the realities of our present situation. So in Romans 8, verses 31 to 39, the Holy Spirit anticipates the questions that immediately come to mind. And God answers these questions as he shows you his love in the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. So in the next few months, God will answer four questions at the cross. The first question is in Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? Paul has just asserted that all things work together for good. However, the reality of our present situation seems to contradict these words. For you're not immune from suffering, from weakness and disappointment and fear in this present life. The first question basically is, faced with all this stuff, how can I be sure that everything's going to work together for my good? Are there any answers, satisfactory answers, to the question, what are we going to say in the face of our present realities? You're not going to find any answers if you look at what's happening to you. In fact, what's going on in your life right now may contradict Paul's words, all things work together for good. You may be facing relationship problems, family problems. You may be battling depression or guilt or doubt. Everything in your world may seem to be coming apart. And so the realities of our present situation oftentimes seem to contradict Paul's words and might even lead us to conclude that God has forsaken us. And the realities of our sinful disobedience and our many failures seem to make it impossible that God could ever be on our side. But in verse 31, the Holy Spirit provides the answer. What shall we say to all these things? Maybe you know the verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? But this isn't a second question. This is an assertion. We could translate this, since God is on our side, who can be against us? Think back for a minute as the children of Israel left Egypt as slaves through the Red Sea. They got up to the promised land and they sent out 12 spies to see what lay ahead. 10 of them came back with the report, great place, but, there's always a but. The people are too strong, they've got armies, there's no way we could take this land, let's go back to Egypt. Only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, stood up and gave the correct answer, the Lord is with us, do not fear them. Note, the Bible doesn't stress that we're on God's side. It stresses that God is on our side. Since God is on our side, who or what could ever harm us? God is on our side. He said so in the Bible. He did more than that. He demonstrated that he's on our side by sending that Savior called, in Isaiah, Emmanuel, the name of our school, Emmanuel, God with us. And this Heavenly Father did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. You have to go to the cross to see the greatness of God's love, the reality that God is on our side. 40 years later, Joshua, that one of the two spies, took over the leadership of the children of Israel from Moses after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And as they stood on the banks of the Jordan, the Lord God spoke to Joshua, saying, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So today, God answers your questions and your doubts about how everything could possibly work together for good by pointing you to the cross and to God's love. What then shall we say to all these things? And you can fill in these things, this stuff from your own life. The answer of God's word in Jesus Christ is, since God is for you, who could possibly be against you? So next month, God willing, we'll consider the second question, how can we be sure that God is on our side and that He will give us all things? We close our devotion this morning with the singing of hymn 528, stanzas 1 and 2.